Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to KKIM, the oldest Christian radio station in New Mexico. And it's time to grab your cup of coffee and join us. But maybe you're driving in your car right now or in your office and so on, and I'd like to welcome you. We are continuing on. This is number 60, and we started three or four ago with the keys to the kingdom of God. If you want to catch the prior ones, especially all in this series called the Keys to the Kingdom, what you need to do is go to gilbertandfriends.com and click on the podcast, and you can listen to them and catch up. Anyway, we're continuing on in the keys, and we had just read in Matthew chapter 7 that not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father. In the beginning, God created Adam perfect in his own likeness, and he was in the garden with God, and they used to commune, and God made man to have communion or fellowship with him. And so God came walking one day to meet his friend Adam, and Adam's hiding out because he had done what God told him not to do, and that's to eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. And so he fell, and he was kicked out of God's kingdom, which was known as Eden, where the tree of life is. And so God sent his son Jesus to bring a man back to God, to show him the way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And anyway, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and so on, and in your name done many wonderful works, and cast out demons. And he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Now, how many of us know about Ronald Reagan or George Bush, H.W. and George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, and so on? The big question is do they know you? And that's a big difference, isn't it? Most of us know who they are, but not very many are known by them. And not one of them knows me. But God the same way. All man knows about God. God is manifest himself everywhere, but God does not know every one of you. So the question is, and he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. God does not know the man who works lawlessness. And then God revealed himself to Paul on the way to Damascus, and he was blinded, and he had not eaten for 3 days and three nights, and he saw this a light above the brightness of the sun, and a voice from the light calling out, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And so Paul, or Saul, recognized it was God, the Trinity. And he says, who are you, Lord? In other words, apparently, which one? And Jesus says, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Arise, enter the city, and if all he had to do is believe on him, he'd have been saved. But he wasn't saved right then, and believe me, Saul changed his mind right there of going to Damascus to kill the believers. And anyway, so he is in Damascus in a house. He has not eaten in 3 days. He is blind for 3 days. And he is told to go there, and there it will be told you what you must do. So we've got to pick up the rest of that story and see what it was told Saul, what he had to do. Well, let me make a mention of this right now. He'd already changed his mind. He already believed, but there was something else that he had to do. And even the people in Matthew 7, they're calling out, "Lord, Lord," and he said, "I never knew you." Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," but he that does the will. There is more than just saying, "Lord, Lord." You have to do what is called God's will. And the sinner's prayer, he knew that he was sinful. He didn't have to go any further. How many of us have known that we were sinful? And Jesus wouldn't have to convict us on that. We know we needed help. And he didn't tell him to go down to the altar and pray and so on. So let's carry this story a little further. We're going to go to John chapter 10, verses 7 and 9. The context is 7 through 18. But for the sake of time, we're going to mainly read 7 through 9. Jesus therefore said again, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So here it says, and the word "saved" is used. Now, I didn't write this. God did. This is hot off of God's lips. I'm just telling you, this is what God says. "I am the door," Jesus proclaims. "By me, if any enter," you'll find this in red letter edition. This is Jesus talking. "I am," ego I am, "the door. By me, if any enter, he shall be saved." So we now know that it's not just saying, "Lord, Lord," we must enter by the door. And Jesus is the door. Now, this is not just like any old door. This door has got something on it that must be dealt with. We just cannot go into this particular door. And this door is to keep out thieves. So not just anybody can go in this door. Now, when you have a lock and a key on your entrance to your house or a gate to your yard, it's not to keep you in unless you live in an insane asylum or something like that, or you're in jail, but it is to keep the ones that God does not want in, it's to keep them out. And boy, I'd like to, I'm going to get into this being in jail. Even in jail, you can be free in God. There's actually a scripture that talks about it. And who knows if God cannot, if a man turns his heart to God, if God will not have mercy and let that man out earlier. But it has to be repentance from the heart and salvation has to follow. We can deal with that. And hopefully, God willing, if I have time, I'll get into that for you that are in jail or in prison. Remember, there's salvation for all, because even the man that was guilty of dying, and he knew it, because the thieves on the cross, it says, "We are here justly." One of them began to revile Jesus, and the other says, "Hey, look, this man has done nothing wrong, and we are here justly." So apparently they committed some serious offenses, maybe murder, and they were there justly, hanging on the cross on either side. And one mocked, and the other said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." So did that man meet Jesus? You bet. You bet he met him. And did he die with Jesus? You bet he died with Jesus. He did more than just confess. He died with him on the cross, and he confessed his sins to Jesus. And the fact that not the sins of the transgressions of the law, but the amartia that he had missed the mark, and he needed Jesus to hit the mark. And but anyway, Jesus is the door. And this is a special door because God just doesn't want everybody in. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 16, and this is where it gets fun. And the context here is 13 through 20. Now, when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon answered and said, "Thou art the Christ," and that means anointed, "the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed or happy are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in the heavens. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, you are a Peter, you're a little chip of the rock. You're not the big rock. I'm the big rock," said Jesus. I just added that in because people go off on this thinking that Peter is a rock. Well, obviously he wasn't, but he became a mighty man when he became spirit-filled. "I also say to you that you are Peter, you're a chip off the rock. And upon this rock," speaking of himself, "I will build my church. And the gates of Hades," in other words, the gates of the land of the sightless, "shall not prevail against it." Hades is the land of the sightless. This land of the sightless will not prevail against it. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens. Whatever you shall bind on the earth shall be bound in the heavens, and whatever you shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in the heavens." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no one that he is the Christ. Now, this is very interesting because Peter was given the method of entering the kingdom of heaven. Let's read that again. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in the heavens." Now, isn't it interesting when salvation, when the Spirit indwelling men, salvation is the Spirit living in you to come back to the place where you were when God first created man. That is salvation. And you see that we were created in God's image, that we had the Holy Spirit in us. And because all have sinned, all have missed the mark, amartia, all have fallen short of what is called the doxace of God. And then we found out in Romans, that was Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there's a big, big old void right in the middle of our lives. And if you ever saw that story about, Val Kilmer played Doc Holliday, and it was about Tombstone. And he was talking about this man that was a ruthless killer. I think his name was Ringo. And he says he's got a big old void right in him. And you know what? That is the condition of all men. And boy, my ears perked up when I heard that. And some people are just further gone than others. Some are more evident that there is a big void in their life. And Ringo had a big void in his life. And of course, it was up to Doc Holliday to put him out of his misery. And hopefully somebody won't put you out of your misery, that you will get that void filled and your longings met. Now, this does not mean that you do not know about Jesus Christ. And this does not mean that you are not sincere. But if you are lacking the power of the Holy Spirit, you will receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit has come within you. Also, God's kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you are indeed filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be right, and you will have a sense of peace and joy that passes understanding within you. And nobody will be able to tell you otherwise. And people can't satisfy you. People could not satisfy me. I was in this condition 36 years ago, and I was crying out from church to church, "Hey, here, over here, me, I need some help." And nobody could help me until I met a Spirit-filled man of God that reminded me of the Apostle Paul. He was just like him in every aspect. And I heard that Paul was a little bit on the heavyset side and a little bit balding. And that's what Slaughter and some of the other historians have painted Paul to be. And this man was, in appearance, was somewhat similar too. But he was, I tell you what, when the Spirit would come on this individual, you could see it. And when he would teach, the hairs in the back of your neck would stand up because it was with life. I hear a lot of teachers teach, they're just repeating the word of God. But when the Spirit of God comes on you, you become strong, just like Daniel did in the lion's den, just like David did when he slew Goliath. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come within you, and you'll be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost end of the earth. You will receive this dunamos power. And so anyway, Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, and Peter used them. And the first times that salvation was brought to the Jews, when they got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it was Peter that was there and explaining salvation to these people. And there were people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, but the other ones that stood by, the 3,000 that got salvation that day, it was Peter that brought the message, that person that we thought was weak and so on. And he turned out to be a mighty man of God. And then when it came time for the Gentiles to be saved with Cornelius, it was again Peter. And Cornelius was told, go to the seacoast, Caesarea, and look for Peter, who is lodging with Simon the Tanner. I think I'm right on those facts. And so they sent an ambassador to Peter, and he happened to be on the roof praying, and God had just told him through a vision to accept the Gentiles, that God had cleaned them and that they were going to be saved. And it was Peter that brought salvation to those Gentiles, the nations, the ethnos. That's what Gentiles, I think, means in the Greek. One place it's ethnos, ethnic. So anyway, he has brought salvation to all mankind and made us of many nations, made us of many tribes, and made us all one in Jesus Christ. The thing man has tried to do to bring about unity of different races, you know, they've taught us against being racially prejudiced. I tell you what takes it out of your heart is when you get the Holy Spirit in your heart, and then you realize God is made of all nations one. And you quit focusing so much on the race as you do on Jesus. So now Peter has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in the heavens, and whatever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in the heavens. So let's see in Acts 2:38 what Peter does with this. So turn to Acts 2. We'll just start in verse 1, and then we'll begin at that point again to start the next teaching. Let me start in Acts 1:8. Or I'll start in verse 6. So when they had come together, Jesus had told them to stay in Jerusalem and wait. And there was 120 of them. And they were told to wait until something happened. So I'll just start reading and you'll hear what happens. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive dynamite, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after they had that he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now this happened 7 days before the day of Pentecost. He died 50 days before the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost means 50. He died, and that marked the 50th day. For 3 days, he was in the earth. On the third day, he raised from the dead. He was with his disciples for 40 days. Aren't those interesting numbers? And then he was lifted up 1 week before the day of Pentecost. He was with them for 40 days. And he was seen of over 500 after his resurrection. It says that in 1 Corinthians, I think. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. In the resurrection, he's coming the same way. Remember this scripture. If you believe in the rapture or whatever, memorize this scripture. This will tell you exactly how he is going to come again. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come in chapter 2, verse 1, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Agios Phenevna, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there was a crowd there. Now these were not heathens. These were very religious people. And I'm going to start with this and continue on the next time we meet. This is a religious people, people that thought they had all of Christ. And you see, there was a big change that happened in the church. And I think there's going to be another one that's going to happen in our day and age. Look, we're all going to shut up and sit down or stand up, but we're all going to shut up when Jesus comes because he is the majestic one. Jesus Christ is going to take over his kingdom, and we're going to be listening, not talking. How'd you like that silence? This moment of silence is brought to you by the Word of God. When he opened the seventh seal, in Revelation 8:1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And there's a psalm. These just came into my mind just now. There'll be silence before him and praise in Zion, O God, and to thee the vow will be perform to those in prayer. To thee all men come, iniquity prevails against us. As for our transgressions, thou dost forgive them. How blessed is the man whom thou dost choose and bring near to thee. He'll be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. By awesome deeds, thou dost answer us in your righteousness. Thou art the end of all the earth. Praise God. He is the end of all the earth. And these people were marveling at this. And when we get together, we are going to, Peter was given the keys, and we're going to watch Peter use those keys to unlock the kingdom of heaven. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth. And especially today, may he lead you into his kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us toll-free at 866-754-6527. That's 866-754-6527. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.